Hallelujah. Lord God, we give you the highest praises because all of the praises belong to you and to you alone. For you are
Yes,
our
Lord.
joy in the morning and our setting sun at night. You are our creator and our sustainer, Lord God. You are our light and our fortress. You are our wisdom, Lord God, and our strength. Oh, what a mighty, mighty God we serve. And we thank you, Lord God, for choosing us, Lord God, as your people, Lord God. So, Lord God, we ask your guiding hand to lead us through this service today, Lord God. And we praise you, we honor you, we give you all the glory, for you are more than worthy, Lord God, of our praises, Lord God. We'd like to welcome our guest speaker, Ingrid, this morning. We ask her to be blessed, Lord God, with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit today, Lord God. Give her your words, Lord, and your words alone, Lord God. Give her wisdom, Lord God. Father, we ask that the wisdom you give to her will flow down to us, Lord God, and also give us deep insight into what she has to say today, Lord God. Father, bless her and her whole family. Do a work on each one of them, Lord God, each and every one of them, Lord God, from the oldest to the youngest, Lord God. Anoint her afresh today, Lord God. Continue to pour into her as only you can do. Open our ears so we may hear with clarity, Lord God. Give us godly ears, Lord God, to hear, Lord, and retain what you are saying to us today through Ingrid, Lord God. Bless her, Lord God. Guide her, Lord God. Shape her and mold her, Lord God. Give her the desires of her heart and all that is according to your will, Lord God, and your will only. We thank you for her, Lord God, and we ask that your blessings will continue to fall down upon her each and every day, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Glory
amen.
To
amen.
Glory
amen.
To Glory
amen.
To the service is now in your hands, Ingrid.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, Elder Barbara and Elder Joseph, and thank you, everyone.
Good morning.
What an honor it is. Really, it is truly an honor just to be here this morning and to be able to give a word. And as Elder Barbara and Elder Joseph, you know, asked me to give a word, of course, you know, I went before the Lord to ask what he wanted me to, the message to be. And the Lord put on my heart that in this time, just before I go, I'm sorry, the title of the message actually today is Hearing God's Voice in the Last Days and how important it is. So the Lord put on my heart that in this time and in this season that we need to be closer to him now more than ever, and that we need to speak to him and to listen to his instructions that he has for us in this time and in this season. And as I was, the Lord was speaking to me, he also brought me back to one morning. As I was in my prayer closet praying, the Lord brought back to me, and he said to me that I have things that I want you to do, and I need you, and I need to meet with you, and you need to make time. And I say this for all of us because we all have an assignment, and we all have things that the Lord wants us to do. And time is so big. Time is more than we think it is, actually, because so many things take up our time. And it's so important and crucial in this time and in this season that we don't allow the enemy to rob us from our time to spend with the Lord, to know that what we are, to understand and know that what we are called to do. So the Lord told me that he needed me to make time for him, morning and night, to meet with him, because he had some things that he wanted to give me instructions to do. The Lord also gave me some examples on how it was important to meet with him and how important it is to be in his presence. He also showed me how it required communication with him to fulfill his promise. And he brought Moses and Abraham to me. And I just wanted to share some scriptures with you on how the Lord spoke to them. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1-3, you know, the Lord speaks to Abraham and he says, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country. He says, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. The Lord also speaks this through Moses. And as we see in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 15, God speaks to Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt to lead them to the promised land. We also have another example in Genesis chapter 8, verse 15, where God speaks to Noah. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and your son's wife with you. Bring off with every living thing of all flesh that is with you, birds and cattle and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, so that they may be all abound on the earth." So in the second chapter it says, so Noah went out and with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every animal, every creeping thing, every bird, and whatever creeps on the earth according to their families went out of the ark. So what were they doing? They were listening to the instruction of the Lord. These are all examples of how God used man to fulfill his purpose. So we ask ourselves today, what is our assignment? What is God asking us to do right now? And one of the wake-up calls that I've not only seen through me, but I've seen through people, which is, you know, that I've seen the Lord has done, is that some of us, you know, we will do businesses, we'll do ministries, we'll even go into a career, and we'll say to ourselves that, you know, I'm doing this for the glory of God. But sadly to say, sometimes God is not in it, because just because we're doing something good, that doesn't mean God is in it. We have to know that we are in the will. We need to know that we are in the will of God. And what we're doing is not because we're doing it because it feels good or because we think that that's what God wants us to do. It's important that we have a relationship with the Lord and that we ask him, what is our plan? What is his plan for our life? What is our calling? What is it that you want us to do? And how do we know? It's so simple. We simply ask him, because that's just how good of a father that he is. You know, he said, if you want whatever we want, we ask, and he will speak to us. That's part of having intimacy with the Lord, is to be able to be in your prayer closet or wherever you are, just to be able to speak to him and hearing back from him. And not doing the things that we think that he wants us to do, but knowing that we are in the will of God and whatever it is that we're doing. And right now, you know, as we can all say, we are in the last days, and God is building his church, and he is building his army, and he is raising a remnant. And the remnant, you know, I was looking at description, definitions of remnant. And one of them says, it's what is left over. Another definition said, a small remaining quantity of something. And then the Hebrew version says, it is what is left over after a group have been destroyed. So right now, the Lord is raising a remnant that will shake the nation. A remnant and those that in the darkest hours that will stand on the truth. You know, as we see right now, what everything that is going on, there's so many, you know, it's not to point fingers, but it is reality. There's so many mega churches, so many churches that have so many, they have thousands and thousands of members, and they're not preaching on the truth of God. They're not. They're more concerned about the number of people that they have more than the truth. And now more than ever, we need the truth. So in Romans chapter 11, 5, so too at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 5, it says, "In that day, the Lord of the hosts will be crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people." So we see, and even as you can do research, you'll see throughout scripture from beginning to end, you know, how it speaks of the remnant. The remnant are those in the darkness hour that will stand up and that will not be afraid and that will be bold to preach the gospel, the full gospel, the truth, and not watered down. And to a lot of mega churches, you know, the remnant is also, it's the small churches, believe it or not. It is the small churches that encounters with the Lord, that have encounters with God. The small churches, the one that are feeding on the word, listening to the word, those are the ones that are the remnant. And a lot of us, we have been put back, you know, in the back seat. And the Lord showed me a vision, you know, in the beginning of the, you know, the whole COVID. He showed me that there was a huge room and there were so many people in the front. There were so many people in the front stage and they were under this shine, like this bright light. And they just wanted to be, and they just wanted to be seen. They just wanted to be heard. They wanted to be in the spotlight. And there were a group of people. There were two group of people in this huge room. People who wanted to be in the spotlight. And there are some people who are all the way in the back. And I saw in the vision that the Lord showed me that the ground opened and all the people that were in the spotlight, the floor opened and they went down and the people in the back moved forward. And it took me a little while, but as I was praying and finding out and what the Lord is showing, the ones that have been in the back, the ones that we haven't gotten a chance to preach the truth, and we knew the truth the whole time. We are the one that the Lord is looking for. We are the one. He's not looking for the ones that are on TV right now that have 1,000 followers or whatever that they're doing. But he is looking for the people that truly want to serve him with all of their hearts. And as we go, you know, back to the beginning of this message, I just want to say how important it is that we have intimacy with the Lord and to know what he has called us to do. I remember, and this is years ago, I remember when I first started with Elder Barbara and Elder Joseph, one of the things that they taught me was so many are called, but only a few are chosen. And I remember asking Elder Barbara, I said, okay, how do you get from called to chosen? And she said, it's just one word. It's one word between the two. And that's preparation. And it's been years and it stuck with me and it will stick with me for life because that taught me that, yes, so many of us are called, all of us are called. But how many of us say yes to the calling? How many of us say, yes, Lord, you know, I'm willing to prepare. I'm willing to do whatever it is that you've called me to do to fulfill your purpose in my life. And we need to prepare ourselves for what the Lord has coming ahead. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy because we do have an adversary. We do have an adversary. And he does bring distractions into our lives. He brings distraction into our lives. And he also tell us lies. The enemy will distract us in so many ways. You know, he will send people to steal your time. It is so important in this time, in this season, that we guard our time. We guard our time. You know, the enemy will send people your way just to call you. I mean, sometimes, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that, but sometimes you catch yourself, you know, like someone calls you and you end up on the phone, you're speaking to them for like over an hour and it's really meaningless, nothing important. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. You know, I'm so blessed to have, you know, my best friend, you know, and we do spend a lot of time to, you know, talk, but I can say like 99% of the conversation that we have always revolves around the Lord. There's not a time that we speak on the phone that our conversation is not surrounded by God. It's, and that's what we should be doing, you know, like listening to people calling us, wasting our time, and they just have nothing to say. We just have to be really mindful of who is in our circle and who the enemy is putting in the path to come to bring distraction to us, you know, and other distractions that the enemy are sending also is, you know, things, you know, some of us, we are going through some trials, you know, we are going through some trials. We are going through trials, whether it's financial, whether it's family, whether it's spouse, career, ministry. There's so much things that are going around.
I don't think so. Seriously.
And the enemy wants to discourage you. The enemy wants to lie to you and tell you that you're not good enough to fulfill the purposes of God. But what you need to understand, it's not you. It's not you. When you are ministering, when you are doing, whether it's healing, whatever, it is the Holy Spirit that moves through us. So we know, therefore, it is a lie when the enemy tells us that we're not good enough to preach. We're not even good enough to give a word. We're not good enough to go into the homeless shelter and preach the gospel. He is a liar when he tells us that we're not good enough to do those things. Because when we go in, it is not us. It is the Holy Spirit that speaks through us. So when the enemy lies to you and tells you that you're not good enough, you need to say that, well, then God is not good enough because God is the one that speaks through me. And so many things that we can say right now that are going through our lives that the enemy will try to stop. He brings distraction and through financial situations into our home. He brings disunity in our families. There's so many things that he has. But the key is that we must keep our eyes on the Lord. You know, one of my favorite scriptures is in James chapter 1 through 8, where, you know, he speaks of, you know, he says, through trials and have consider it pure joy during trials and tribulations. You know, God is telling us that we should, in the midst of everything that is going on in our lives, that we should still have joy. So don't allow the enemy to steal your joy, regardless of what's going on, because once you keep your eyes on God, and as the word of God says, first seek the kingdom. And when you do that, God will work everything for your good. The enemy also wants you to forget the promises that God has told you. And some of us, the promises he's giving us, it's been a couple of years. You know, some of you say, oh, it's been a month. But guess what? Some of us, it's been years. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The promises of God is not man that he shall lie. And just because it hasn't come to pass, that doesn't mean that it's not going to. So we need to shut our ears to the voice of the enemy that tells us that it will never happen. We need to let him know that God is not man that he shall lie and that he will fulfill the promises that he has given us. So it is so important that
he should lie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That we stay reading the word, meditate on his word, meditate on his promises. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, but first ye seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be attached unto you. God speaks. When God speaks, he speaks to reveal his purpose. God has a plan for all of his children. Therefore, when he speaks to us, he speaks to reveal his purpose. If you're willing to follow him and listen to his voice, He will take your hand, he will take you by the hand and show you his purpose. Purpose that will involve you doing his work, because he needs us. He needs us to do the work. I want to share something like a testimony in a way, and what the Lord said to me. That a lot of us, the Lord said this to me. He said, you are not supposed to be here. And I just want to share this with you, some of you. I don't know if you can relate or if you know somebody that you can say this to, but I just want to share that some of us were not supposed to be here. The enemy tried to take our lives. And the Lord told me this to me. And I know for me, he tried to take my life twice. I had pneumonia once, both of my lungs, and I was really, really, really sick. And it took me months to recover. And I knew that the enemy did not want me to live. Last year, 1 year ago, exactly this week, I caught COVID. And I had it at its worst. I literally laid in my bed and asked God to have mercy on me. I literally felt like I was gonna die in my bedroom and my bed. That's how bad I had it. And I remember when the Lord healed me, he said, the enemy does not want you alive.
Yeah.
And there's so many of us today, the enemy does not want you alive, but God spared your life. He saved you.
Yes.
But he didn't save you just because. He saved you because he has such a big plan for your life. He saved you because you were born for such a time as this. He saved you to glorify him.
Yes.
I want you to really think about this. So as our lives were saved, think about the thousands. I mean, I don't know the numbers because television lies, but think about all the people that are no longer here, and think about how he spared our lives, and think about what are we going to do and what are we going to say to the Lord. Lord, I know that you spared my life, but I know that you have a big plan for my life. Today, I open my heart to you, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, to show me, speak to me, and I ask that you give me instructions on what you want, what is your will for my life. As we want to be obedient to the Lord, we need to obey the Lord and what he wants us to do. We need to surrender ourselves to the Lord and say yes. I remember I was reading an article on Catherine Coleman, and she said that the Lord said to her, she said, Lord, why did you choose me? And he said to her that there were three other people that he wanted to give the gift to, and they said no. I said, what? But that's what he said. So from there on, I've learned when I, in my prayer, I just surrender my whole self to God. And I say, God, I surrender myself to you, and whatever the calling is, and whatever you have called me to do, I say yes. I say yes to the calling. I want to serve you with all of my heart. I stand on your truth. And Father, I know you are raising a remnant. And Father, I am one of them. Regardless of what is in front of me, and regardless of the things that are going on, Father, I put you first. And I will not entertain the distractions of the enemy, and I will keep my eyes on you.